I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
I understand on that, though.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming tonight. Second meeting in February. Mr. Director Simon will not be attending tonight. He is out of town with another engagement. Can we have a roll call for attendance, please?
Mr. Blair.
Here.
Mr. Mendoza.
Here.
Mr. Fairbanks.
Here.
Mr. Small.
Here. Four of us are here, so we can still take some kind of action tonight. Item number one is the approval of minutes from the February 7th meeting. These appear in our packet delivered last week. I didn't find any problems with them. Anyone have any comments or questions? I have a motion by Director Mendoza to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
And a second by Director Blair. All directors in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Nobody's opposed. Motion passed with four directors present. Item number two is the public comments period. I'd like to recognize Byron Riley is in the audience tonight from the Avila District. He's also the Special District of Point of Alaska. One of the two. How are you doing tonight, Byron? Okay. Any items that aren't on the agenda tonight that you'd like to bring up briefly, feel free to do so at this time. We ask that you limit your presentation to 3 minutes and give us your name and address. Yes?
John Snyder, Clark, California Limited. Well, thanks for that information. Last time I got a copy of the two ordinances that you...
Was I close on the numbers?
You were very close.
Okay, good.
Not perfect, but very close.
Okay.
Which is very helpful. And in those documents, basically what it says, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
The district will not accept or process any applications for annexation to the district unless the district is assured of adequate water supply. And those ran for 4 years. There were two of them. And then with last year's fire in the middle of 91. So my question was, what assurance of adequate water supply does the NCSB have that allows the annexations that occurred after that time period?
Okay, I'll answer.
Well, let me just comment before we get off. This is a public comment period.
Not an answer period.
And this board has been very liberal in taking questions from the audience and responding to them. But I have to make a representation for the record that if any director speaks in response to it, he's not speaking for the board, he's speaking for himself. And to the extent that your questions have, in quote, legal significance, it's be inappropriate for the board to respond at all. I believe that you got a letter from Mr. Jones that is it. Did that letter go out, Doug?
Yeah.
Explain the situation. I just want to make that comment before you
go
ahead.
Would there be a better method to ask these questions than this method that I'm using right now?
Well, the public comment period is not available for asking and answering questions. It's there under the Brown Act so that the members of the public can address items and give information to the board or the city council or the board of supervisors or any public agency that's subject to the Brown Act for the purposes of giving information to the board. The fact that the board responds to it is because I'm just going to be second guessing, it's because they feel obligated to try and give the audience as much information as possible. But you have to remember that when the board responds to questions from the audience, they're not responding to you as representing the district, but as individual board members giving their recollection of events. And to the extent you're going back into history, there are likely to be staff reports or other things that happened at that time that would be responsive to your question, and that would be a lot more accurate than the recollection of any one board member as to what those events are.
Well, I checked out the meeting notes in 91.
That's good.
And there basically is no reference to this in 91.
Okay, I just wanted to point this out to you
I know. Is there a better form for me to pose these questions and get answers than the method I'm using?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, you can write letters to the staff and ask staff to address those items. Staff can bring them to the board and make a determination of whether or not they'll be responded to. I mean, I suppose that would be one method of doing it, but I think using the public comment period as a, in quote, question and answer period is an inappropriate use of the public comment period.
So I had a response for you, but I'm going to pull it back now. Because if I didn't, then you'd be calling me tomorrow. Plus two, you know, as evidenced by the me being off on my numbers, I can't recite those to you word by word. But I'll review those, and you're welcome to call me at home.
Okay.
I'll review those, and I'll see what notes I made in the margins and stuff. Maybe it'll help me recollect exactly what happened. But I do remember the ordinance is vaguely. I do remember that they had 2-year sunset clauses on, if you will. And if you didn't reenact them, then they expired. And I'll need to refresh my memory further before I can respond more comprehensively.
And like you said, it's just one person's opinion or recollection. You're not really getting the board.
Sure.
On the board's opinion, in the press, on this article on that was written about the meeting that Doug and I went to, the water management.
The COG meeting?
Yeah. It talks about the groundwater management. It says the draft plan was developed by the NCSD board with public input. When this first was pushed forward, it was pushed forward by the NCSD board, probably was started before I was a member. There was no public input. There was no public input until we put it out there. And I kind of would like the press to say the majority of the board or some of the board, I haven't been for this thing in the beginning, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be with it unless something changes my mind in the interim. But when it keeps saying the NCSD board, these people keep writing letters, seem to think that I'm pushing for this, and I'm not, and I'd kind of like to have my position clarified.
Okay. Public comments? Any other public comments before I move on to item number 3?
This once. This twice.
Public comments very closed.
This is the one I
covered. Item number 3 under board administration.
It's gone.
Is regarding termination of a couple of water services. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the district had a couple instances on two accounts, and I think the one account on Orchid Avenue, the meter was tampered with once, and there was damage to it. I think the staff kind of commented that is the second attempt to vandalize the meter, but I don't think it would count as a second time, so actually that item only was vandalized once, and therefore when you get into the aspect of noticing the customer of discontinuance of residential service, the code says it has to be tampered twice before discontinuance of service. The count on, and so based on that, the 201 Orchard should be pulled at this time and not taking any action for discontinuance of service. The account on 762 Willow Road, Willow Street, it is a unique situation where that meter has been tampered just for background information. Our district code allows that tampering of any services. We lock them off, and this incident was cut, and the meter was opened up again. We went out and locked off a second time. And the second time the meter was cut, the lock was cut and opened again, and we plugged the meter. Code said once this is done twice, then it's brought to the board for a public hearing for basically a discontinuance of service. we pull the meter on both occasions. And if the customer wishes to reestablish meter, you have to come back and pay a meter fee, et cetera, to get it reestablished. This one on Willow Road is a very unique situation where we always have customers that leave town without paying or anything. Well, in this situation, the house has gone. They physically, it was kind of a substandard house, and when we went back up to check on it, the house was actually physically removed from the front, or knocked down. So the house skipped town. And so it's a unique situation where I think the board can make a finding that the termination of service where the meter could be pulled, and we could put it on the tax roll at a different hearing, or we could just table this item, and if the residents comes in to rebuild, they would have to pay all the fees. By doing that, it is unknown when they would come back and reestablish a structure on there. So those are basically, you know, the options that the board has.
Have the main residents out of town then, I guess, in the house.
Yeah.
I think maybe the contractor.
We had a letter that came back. It was open and then resealed and then returned to sender.
So 762 Widow is has been confirmed to tampering.
Yes.
I think maybe the contractor did that when they tore the house down to settle the dust or something.
We locked out like twice, and after the second time locked up, went back to inspect the house.
No, I mean, I'm just saying maybe it wasn't the tenant. Maybe it was, you know, I had a house removed once, and they did that. They wet everything down, so there wasn't a lot of dust and stuff. And I just wanted to make the contract. I'm just giving the people the benefit of the doubt.
Well, as I said, second time it was turned off, the house is still there.
Oh,
I went back,
okay.
And it was not tampered after that.
Okay. Every opportunity.
Any comments or questions from the board? Any audience input, questions or comments on this? Yes.
Can you put a lien against that property?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's the procedure we're going through. Maybe legal counsel can go through the steps that we need to go through the procedure.
There are two separate procedures. One, that the board was intending to act, or staff was intending to act under the district code tonight for an order to terminate the services, which would allow the district to actually pull the meters and do what it takes to ensure that no further tampering occurred. The district, of course, has the option under the government code, which will probably occur, to exercise its rights to place a lien on the property to collect delinquent fees on the property, and that usually occurs in midsummer, so that it gets on the tax rolls. Was it August 1st we have to have? Sometime in August we have to have the list to the county tax collector to enforce those rights.
The present a dollar amount owed on the Willow Road service is $257.15.
The Widow Road is, it says 202 in the notice. It's gone up another bit, right? For the last billing period.
Yes.
And there's been no contact by the prior residents.
No, like I mentioned, we've hung notices on the door a couple of times, and they've been removed. And we sent a letter out, and the letter came back, but it was obvious it was open, red, and resealed and sent back to the district.
We don't send those certified on our return receipt. But if you're sticking them on the door and they're ripping off the notices, it's obvious what's happening. Your notice that was hung on the door also mentioned that the public hearing was set for February 21, so for purposes of clarification, this is the public hearing.
That's great.
On this item.
You might ask if anybody in the audience is here.
So, I'll be right now. Any representatives from either property, but the main one we're considering now is 762 Widow Lane. Any representative of the property here? I'd like to say please. Okay, currently not.
Board,
board questions, comments? I think it's pretty clear that the way our code is written, that we've got it documented by date when the notices were sent, and that tampering was reported twice at this residence, and there's been non-payment for a substantial amount of time on a bill of over a couple hundred dollars. So at least for this director, I'm in favor of the discontinuance of service and pulling the water meter. Anyone else want to
say grand resolution?
There's no further discussion, then I'll entertain a motion, word it however you like.
Yes.
But this will be just an application to the...
What account is for? There's one or two.
There's a couple up here.
Is there any of...
96 Wish.
No further comment by the audience. We have no representatives, so...
Yeah.
It's public hearing.
Resolution has been prepared for board action, which is before you.
Right.
Which one is it?
It has a...
571. 96571.
Could you read that in title only?
Sure. This is a resolution of the Board of Directors in the Pomo Community Service District ordering permanent disconnection of water service. And this is enacted pursuant to our District Code Section 3.03.170 and parens D. We have placed a resolution before the board. I would just note the following modifications should be included in the motion, and that would be all references to account number 7076 should be deleted from the resolution, and this would resolution basically incorporates the findings that there have been at least two tamperings, that there has been a public hearing, that a public hearing has been noticed, and would order account number 7032 to be permanently disconnected.
Well, that seems to be in order. There's one contradiction here. We've got Widow Lane appearing, and we've got Widow Street. Is it extremely important that we get that accurate in the resolution?
We can just make all references to street. Is that what it is?
Lane.
No, Widow Lane?
Lane, yeah.
Okay, make all references then to Lane to make it
okay, so
dramatically
change
correct.
The resolution then for Widow Lane. Okay, so you have the proposed resolution before you. Does any director feel comfortable with the motion?
Okay, I'll make a motion that we terminate service for tampering and lack of payment at resolution 76571 for the account 7032 at 762 Willow Lane.
Yeah, Widow.
Widow Lane. Sorry about that.
Okay. A motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Director Fairbanks. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Blair.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's pass from number four right here. That's item number three. Item number four is an intent to serve to track 1736 Holt Lane Estates. Mr. Jones.
Hey, Mr. President. At the last board meeting, track 1776 Holt Lane is a development that was brought to the Honorable Board with the request for intent to serve letter. The board reviewed the plot plan as presented to the board, and they had some questions on the street widths within the tract. Mentioned at that time that the jurisdiction on site is within the County Planning Department, and any public streets, the County Engineering Department has jurisdiction. I have attached the typical section for rural roads to your packet so you can see different widths associated with those items that are governed by the public road aspect. But since this is on private property, these jurisdictions do not comply, and therefore the applicant had to comply with the County Planning Department's requirements of road width, and also leave also the California Division Sort of CDF for fire requirements.
Okay.
The applicant's in the audience. the board may address those main concerns that
the county planning requirements aren't included in our packet tonight, or just the engineering requirements
right.
and public roadway.
Right, and we have no jurisdiction over it.
Okay. Any board questions or comments at this time? Okay. If there's a representative from the project.
I talked to the fire department, fire chief, about this, and he said that this went through before they got active. I guess it's only been in a short period of time that they've been doing inspections of roads and stuff as part of the planning process. And I guess this was in before that. He isn't real happy with that road either, but I don't think there's anything they can do about it. Because it's totally inadequate to turn the party from truck around. Whether any in the future he'll approve, but I think it was in before then. That's why they didn't say no. But
what was the guy's name you talked to? Was it Flag?
No.
Ben.
Huh?
Ben.
Ben. Yeah.
Stewart.
Stewart. Ben Stewart. That's. I did follow through on it, and I went up there and talked to him and gave him a copy of this, and that's what he said.
Right. Again, that kind of appears to improve the county.
Yeah, it was evidently the reason why the fire department actually didn't approve it. It was done before the fire department had a hand in going out and approving things. It's only just been of late that they've got involved in the planning process.
Okay. Is there a project representative here from Track 1736 might like to say something? You give us
Jack
your name.
Normally President Davina Boone, owner of Track 1736.
Okay.
I'm here to answer any questions. I am under the impression that we have gone through all of the entitlements that we need to go through with CDF, County Engineering, County Planning, and CSD. So I'm here to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Now, the only questions that arose at the last meeting were regarding street width. And what, if any, requirements the county had upon you for that? Can you elaborate at all as far as the width of the street within the project?
The county has standard widths for private streets and projects that have private streets, and we're complying with those standards. The project was originally approved in 1989, and we submitted a request for minor revision in 1995. Which went to the fire department, CBF. And I believe Mr. Stewart reviewed the plans and said that he had no problems with them at that particular point in time. But as far as we know, we're conforming to the requirements of all of the county agencies as well as NCSD as it relates to water and sewer. So I don't know what more we can.
Yeah, the fire department was required to sign off to give you a
yes.
type of approval in the process.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the width of that street?
No parking on the street.
Not allowed?
There's no parking allowed on the street. There's private parking adjacent to the street that may increase the street.
Do you have signs saying no parking?
Yes. That's one of the county planning department requirements.
Who enforces that, though? See, that's private property. The highway patrol is going to come in here and write them tickets.
Well, I guess if it has to be enforced, it's enforced by the county planning department through their code enforcement section.
And then, like, the driveways, it shows what? The driveways in front of there are 16 feet? Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, that's a normal width driveway.
No, width, is that width or length?
That's width.
How much is the length?
Minimum 18.
See, what I really got a problem with is this is probably academic why I'm versing this, but I got a truck, a new truck that's 22 and a half feet long. Okay, I don't know if everybody's going to move in there is going to have a 22 and a half foot truck, but if I would park this truck right up against a garage door, it'd be hanging out in the street, and you've got a street that's already too narrow. So that means somebody's either going to come down the street and clip my truck, or where am I going to put it? You know, you can't park on the street. And that's the kind of problems people are going to have in the future. Because people are going to buy these, you know, there's 31 homes in there. Somebody's going to buy something. And when this stuff's planned out, you got these urban planners in San Luis Obispo that seem to, you know, this is great maybe for downtown Los Angeles or something, but I don't think it's too slick for, you know, for here. But that, like I say, it's academic, but that's where I verse my... I understand you comply with all things, played all the games. But,
yeah, we've tried to do everything we can to comply with the agencies that we have to deal with, including NCSD as it relates to water.
Right. Okay. But that's right. Where my concerns came from.
Yeah, we acknowledge that and we appreciate that. Any other questions, Mr. Gormley? Gormley, right? 46 down? Okay. Thank you, sir. Any other questions or comments by the audience?
Yeah, I'm one of my first residents in Como. Is this for mobile home type deal, or sounds like it should be everything so small?
No, they're single family residences, houses. There's no shared walls, are there? They're independent units, or
the garages of some of the units are attached.
Okay.
But no living areas.
Okay. Double garages, and
two car garages.
Double car.
Okay.
But still, it doesn't have to be the same with the fire department. If the fire truck, suppose there is an emergency, rather than with a subdivision, the truck can get in, can't turn around, what are you going to have there? Crash a couple of houses down trying to get around, you know? They should have at least a turnaround if this is a dead end street or something.
It has
many
a
people can turn around, you know?
There's.
When a person builds a house in the Pomo, you first have to get permission from the fire department. When I built my house, I had to go to the fire department. They had to explain to them exactly where I was going to put the water line in case of fire. Right? You know, and here it seems like Mr. Blair said, nothing was done as far as fire or whatever. You know, and this was being pushed through somehow.
I think Mr. Gormley stated that the to the satisfaction of the county, at least, has complied with the fire department requirement. Is that correct, Mr. Bowman?
That's correct.
Okay. And we're not the fire department, so we're not going to carry the fire department's flag here. Yeah. We're NCSD. We're going to do our business. So, but we might. You know, your points are well taken. At some point, we might. If we ever have any more planning input than we presently have, we can consider that. Any further public comments or questions? What about any more board questions for Mr. Gormley or Mr. Jones? Okay. I'm going to share only 10 motion then. This is being approval for an intent to serve letter for Tract 1736. Now, this was brought up at our last meeting, and there were five conditions there. Those conditions are still in effect, right?
That's correct.
Are still recommended. Yes. Plan check and inspection fee has to be paid. Improvement plan submitted. Easements dedicated. Water and sewer fees paid. And conduit upholstering from the box. The chair will entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we issue an intent to serve with the five conditions.
Okay. The motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
And a second by Director Blair. All directors in favor of issuing the intent to serve to Track 1736 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion passed 4-0. Thank you, Mr. Bowman. Okay, item number 5 is proposed annexation number 15, Newdall. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, Mr. Bob Newdall has previously requested through LAFCO for annexation of a 10-acre parcel at the intersection of Test Street and Hazel Lane to NCSD for water and sewer services. This annexation was stalled when the county and district could not agree on a tax exchange. Historically, the district has received 7-plus percent of the increase in value of any annexation, property tax value of any annexation to the district. But the county has come up on a staff-driven aspect that any annexations would be 0 tactic change with the concept that since the district is a enterprise district, no tax monies are needed. And so it wasn't agreed upon, and therefore it stalled in LAFCO, since LAFCO has to receive the agreement, the resolution from the county and the district that they agreed to a tax exchange. Since that resolution wasn't adopted or passed, then the annexation did not proceed. Mr. Newdall is willing to come up with an innovative method of forming a tax exchange with the district, although this may not be prudent with respect to one area having its own tax rate and others are not. And also associated with this annexation is the Hastings annexation, which is annexation number 12, which has been approved by the LAFCO. And that's the approximately 15 acres adjacent to the district, and extends down to the Newdall proposed annexation. The Hastings annexation, I think, had a time extension onto it because the applicant was having some financial difficulties.
How was it associated? You said associated. How is Hastings associated with Newdall?
Well, as I understand that, and maybe they can explain it further, that LAFCO, because the Newdall came in and it was all associated with this one-time Hazel Lane annexation, the whole area, which LAFCO was considering at one time instead of a number of small annexations. But in the meantime, the PUC granted approximately half of the area of Hazel Lane to be served by Cal City's water company. And so it made that portion of the annexed district somewhat moot. And so the remaining portion was extended, and that the Hastings annexation was, I guess, prudent or depending somewhat on the Newdall annexation. I don't know all the background associated with the two, although I know that Hastings was permitted to a time extension on that matter. Maybe the applicant can explain that further. In either case, the proposed annexation, I just received a annexation request from Mr. Newdall as per the district annexation policy. States certain aspects, and then on.
So we have the development plan?
We don't have the development plan. I explained to the developer that the development plan, he's submitted the application for annexation and everything else, but the development plan needs to be developed so the district knows what type of demands will be on the system.
Right.
And that hasn't been presented to the district. Either has a development plan been presented to the district for the Hastings development.
Okay. What about lots or parcels? Let's see. 6 through 27, they're on this little area map that you provided us. Is that being served by Cal Cities currently?
No, that middle area up to Simmons Lane. Parcel
right.
Number 6 is being served by Cal Cities, and everything easterly of Simmons Lane is being served by Cal Cities. And so parcels 7, 9, 14, 15, and 8 through 12 and 16 down there are not being served.
Not served right now.
One
by,
thing,
by anybody? Or?
Well, they're outside the jurisdiction of Cal Cities, and they're within the urban service line of the district. Now, Mr. Newnall had just brought in a revised annexation plan which shows lots 28 and 29 in the Newnall annexation on your plot.
Yeah.
They were have been removed from this proposed annexation. They are presently being served by Cal Cities Water, which is within our sphere of influence but outside Cal Cities' jurisdiction of service. So basically, they're doing their thing again. Basically servicing outside their district boundaries.
So 28 and 29 is Cal City.
28 and 29 is not within Cal City service area.
But they're serving it?
They're servicing it.
What about 30 and 31?
No.
Well, they have to get PUC approval with
yes.
that?
Yes, they're in violation of the PUC.
Oh. Okay. Well, that clears it up. Okay. So where roughly is the Sauer property? Is it pictured here?
It's probably, I think, lot 22. It's being served by Cal City.
Okay.
But 7, 9,
14 and 15 aren't served by anybody?
And the adjacent property next to them. Cal City could have bootlegging there, but presently there's no service that we know about in there.
And they're already lots. In other words, that's existing lots?
Yeah. I don't know whether they have on-site water supply or have a bootleg from another water provider.
Okay. What are they, acre lots?
Looks like most of them are 2.5.
Those are about 2.5.
2.5. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
I think 10, 11, 12 are probably 1.2.
I guess some of them are. Okay, any other board questions or comments right now before we go to the audience? We're going to kick this around a little while, I guess. Mr. Newdall, did you have anything you wanted to add or subtract or change?
Well, basically, we're here to answer questions and try to get straighten everybody's mind exactly what we're trying to do. And we've been working on this for, like I said last time, we've been here for several years trying to get this property developed. First, we waited for the South County update that passed and went on through, and up against the government to position we could put it to Alaska, and then the stalemate came between the federal tax and so forth. So maybe we have two issues here: who's going to pay the tax? And I already said I was going to pay that. And then the other issue is that being that we're not served by Cal Cities, and we are within their service area, that.
Yeah, you're within the recommended urban services
line. Right.
But you're not currently within the district.
Right. That's
okay.
I have Terry Payne here from EDA. She's the engineering end of the fence, so she may have some questions.
Is there a comprehensive development plan that we can have as far as water use and all that goes?
I've got a copy of the plan itself. As far as the water use, I've got four copies of it.
Okay. Do you have a copy of this already, Mr. Jones? Here. I'll
look on the mobs here.
Yeah, the things that we need are actually the basics of what we need is contained in a form, a two-page form, and it asks the right questions that we need answered as far as what we need to consider the annexation, lot sizes, and water use, and part of the form needs to be filled out by our staff as well regarding excess water capacity, sewer capacity, and that type of thing. And then the development plan, as stated in our annexation policy, needs to point out, it needs to demonstrate how it meets our annexation policy. The annexation policy is pretty concise. It's only 4 pages at this point. If you need to get a copy of that. Have we provided him a copy of that?
Can I comment for a second?
Yeah.
I've been in correspondence with Mr. Newdall's attorney and have provided him with a copy of the annexation policy and an application. And I do believe the district did receive the application sometime today. Of course, it hasn't gone through the review process at the staff level yet, so staff does not have a recommendation one way or the other as far as this meeting goes.
Thank you. Mr. Seitz? Yes.
Yeah, Terry Payne, EDA. And I just wanted to when we started the annexation process back in January of 95, there was also plans of the development that was just ended up in following the NCSD for a request for a closer in addition to LAFCO and the social district to LAFCO for the annexation to the district. And those all had to be presented up front. We provided a copy of the application that went to LAFCO, a copy of the fees that we paid, and the date that it went to and since then, I think July of 95, that we've been waiting for some kind of response on the contract exchange between the
Okay. As I stated at the last meeting, maybe you weren't here, the property tax exchange is a small portion of it. It, in my estimation, is an annexation policy with conditions regarding civil service to existing district residents and a bunch of other factors that are, in my estimation, much more important than $260 a year.
Right, and I think all of those issues were solved when we did the property, the sphere of influence with the update. Area within this boundary here that shows the sphere of influence area that was indicated in South County update. Currently, this crosshatched area is the area that's already in the district. So, and this is the annexation number 12 that's still pending. This is an annexation for the school and the parks district. This is the school and the parks. This one was for the Baptist Church and the adjacent parcel. I currently work on all of these annexations as well as the one for 12. 12 annexation is still out there pending. This is five there. It's going to fall through the request. So, we're not asking for an annexation for an area that wasn't in the sphere of influence.
Right, we understand that.
It's a different kind of annexation, too. A bunch of houses, and the other one is a school and park and public buildings that aren't going to be here.
I think the impact of the build out development for that entire area.
Okay, that's going to be important. We need to see that.
Yeah, I think that's totally
good. As part of the development plan submitted to us for our approval of the annexation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think you probably got that. I think previously, Ed Seller did an application for annexation for that whole area, or had worked on it and filled out that form. He's got his figures on that. I don't know if that was ever submitted to the district.
I don't remember. No,
it wasn't official.
This is not Ed Sauer, but.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that those figures were included in his application package. He had taken them off.
They correct me if I'm wrong. Sauer's property is in Cal City's water.
No.
He's being served by Cal City. Right,
but if we take that area away from Cal Cities, we're going to have to make some kind of appropriation or something to Cal Cities for it. I mean, it's there are already people in there getting water from Cal City.
Well, I think that's our, and I'm not sure, but I think he's currently the only one getting water from Cal Cities. The only reason he took it was because he's in CSA 1, where he's getting a sewer provided through the county service system. So he has no desire, he didn't have any need to pursue getting water through a CSA. Because for build-out development, we have to have the sewer as well as the water. So if anybody else tied in the property, they can't do the ultimate development. They don't have
Now, when you said Sauer, do you mean just Ed Sauer's lot, or do you mean
his parcel? And I think it's
just the one parcel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think you were saying it was 22, and I'm not sure whether it was parcel 22 or 23. I had a previous map that showed that Peter Wayne.
Parcel 23 is another applicant. He divided into six lots and annexed to CSA 1.
Yeah, and he got the last six.
Which I might say that this was in violation of the
how do you do that?
California Regional Water Quality Control Basin.
So
22 and 23 are both getting service through CSA 1? Sewer service through CSA 1?
Yeah, unfortunately we didn't have much input or notification.
That's across the street, isn't it? From the, because I know the people used to own that one.
And I think he got, didn't he get some service availability because there was some existing residents who were moved?
Yeah, it was a situation. And here again, hopefully LACO is straightened out the notification we received. They gave us a 72-hour notice that this was taking place. We got it the day before the hearing, and we made up, I mean, there are five problems with this situation. That we made a brief presentation to LACO, which was not in the LACO report, and therefore, you know, LACO commission, without this information, went ahead with it. And the Regional Water Quality Control Board has informed me that this has been a violation of their basin plan, because it's an area outside the prohibition area, and it's that yellow line up there on the map, and it states that there's no new wastewater generation shall be allowed to come into that yellow area, and this is a violation of that, which I'm not sure will affect our grant program or not.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was excited that we have an alternative. I'm just saying the reason that they went with Cal Cities is because they had an alternative for sewer service, and the rest of the property owners within that area, they have no other alternative except to go with NCFC to get sewer. If they don't, and they chose to request water from Cal Cities, you know, they have no sewer service.
And then they can only develop 1 acre lot.
Right.
And this was brought up several times in the South County update. And NCFC, I think, stood their ground and wanted to make sure that this area was in the sphere of influence.
All right, any questions of Ms. Payne?
I just have one. On the, when I'm looking at this proposed annexation square that says New Dolls, then I'm looking at this, I'm looking at half of this, right?
Actually, New Dolls piece of this is the piece adjacent to the Hazel Lane, and this annexation.
So as you said, 28 and 29 have dropped out. They're getting
Cal City's water. Right.
In my understanding.
Which way is the sewer line come down?
Well, that's part of it.
There's no sewer line out there now. You'll have to probably put in a small lift station.
Yeah, but which way is the sewer line going to go? Is it going to go down Hazel Lane or up Teff Street and connect into something at Orchard?
It may go. It's up to the engineer. He'll have to look at it. We probably prefer going to Grandy Avenue, since it's the all gravity. If it goes to Teff Street, then it goes from one fifth stage to another.
And if it goes from Grandy, where does it go?
Where's
Grandy?
Right in the middle where that where cul-de-sac is. Where Orchard makes a bend.
Orchard makes
it right here?
Right here, yeah.
Okay. So it would go, what, up across this way and up?
It'd have to be engineered based on the circulation plan.
But it definitely won't go down Hazel Lane.
No.
Most likely not.
Profile is that different. I mean, we'd have to go too deep to sewer line for that. And stuff has to come.
Yeah, I don't know if you know they've come up with a plan of where the lift station is and which way they wish to go.
No, actually, we haven't done any engineering design as far as designing the lift station until we got some kind of approval.
What's Hastings want to do? What kind of, what do they got? Is there any plot plan on what they're going to do?
Not presently. He has a map in process, but it's just.
Is 28 and 29 part of your project?
No.
It's not. But it's owned by Mr. Newdall, is that right?
No, it isn't.
No. Okay.
What about 30 and 31? That's somebody else too, right?
Their name is indicated on the application form. Their name is on there. They have signed the consent. There's a copy of their check that is paid for the application.
What fees are you referring to?
We paid $1,000 annexation fee to LAPCO in January of 95 to start the process.
They don't get that back either, do they?
No, it's still out there.
Ours are $500 per parcel, right?
Per acre
or parcel, less than an acre.
Right.
So how would that be computed on this project?
At 15 acres, so it would be 500 times 15.
But the
parcels proposed are a greater number than the acres there. But the 10,000 square feet are talking 50, 60 parcels.
Right, right, but it's on an area basis. I think the same thing when the Hermerick annexation came in. I don't remember, I think there's about 80 acres out there, and they were charged based on the area, although there's 180 lots proposed within that area.
Okay, so we need some clarification in our code. We might want to make a note of this, but it's currently page 78 of our code in section 6. The fee shall be $500 per acre or per parcel less than 1 acre. So if parcels are less than 1 acre.
Right, if a parcel, a half acre, wants to annex to the district, they pay $500 per acre. 2 acre parcel wants to annex, and it's $1,000. That's how the interpretation.
That's pretty foggy.
The fee should be $500 per acre, or per parcel less than 1 acre.
So if you've got a 10,000 square foot lot, that's less than an acre. That's $500 per parcel.
Well, I think you're going to speak. The intent is that if you have an area annexed, if one house wants to annex to the district, you have to pay $500. Up to 1 acre to anything above
if
that.
If it's on one parcel.
Right.
Right. Okay. We might need some clarification there. Do you see what I'm saying, John?
I see the ambiguity. Part B.
And that can be interpreted both ways. I think the word-for-word interpretation, the literal interpretation is what I've said, per parcel less than 1 acre, $500 per parcel.
But all these little houses up here on Orchard, they're all on septic tanks, right?
Yes.
Okay, what do we need from this or Newdall to complete this
if the board wishes to proceed this thing, they could direct staff to put this on the agenda for next board meeting, and we'd come back with a staff report and the impact or demands on the district for water and wastewater, and at that time the board could make a determination if they wish to proceed with this annexation.
We have enough information now to accomplish that, right?
There'll have to be made some assumptions. We'd probably go on a 10,000 square foot lot and assume that would be the maximum density of the whole area, including the 15 acres that Hanson is proposed to come up with a potential maximum demand on the district system.
Isn't that for Mr. Newdall to do? Because he has more insight as to what his thoughts are going to be.
Well, the zoning is 10,000 square foot minimum anyway. So
right.
Or maximum. No.
Yeah. We'd look at the maximum impact, which that would
be. Yeah, look at maximum impact.
And 10,000 impact.
Sure.
Okay, I'm probably in the minority here, but I don't like this, so I'm going to give you some reasons why. For one thing, you got Mesa Road coming out here on that dip across the street from that school. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9 houses coming out on Mesa Road. You got 9 more driveways on Hazel Lane. It's going to raise heck of the traffic there. That whole area, people cross the street and all the way around it are 1 acre. When we put this sewer line in, up like this, that means all these other people are going to jump up and down. They're going to want to go to something. And especially these people over here, when they bought this, they figured they were getting a 1 acre area. And if we get into this area over here from lot 10 to 11, we're going to be into a locale city. And then what Koch's letter says is right here, the district will not accept or process any accusations. The district is assured of adequate water supply. Well, there's no real water supply in there. We're not getting a well or anything like that that we can use. And the county isn't real happy about giving us our emergency cutoff so that we may get water in the future. This is just going to open up a whole can of worms that we're going to have to serve like later. And there's a whole bunch of places that already have service that we got to serve anyway. I don't know if we really you know, do we really need this at this particular time? What's the board's feeling? I mean, am I the only one that doesn't really like this, or do the rest of you like it? I mean, you know, before we go forward, let's poll the board and see how we feel about it.
You know, I want to, you know, I don't like polls.
Well, I mean,
I don't like straw votes. I don't like polls.
Well, then let's, I'll make a motion that we don't go forward and see how that flies.
We'll jump through the hoops.
Can I make a big comment? I think it would be appropriate for, right, for the actual annexation application to be processed through staff so that all the information could be presented to the board so that they could make a decision.
I didn't want to spend their money if they're not going to get it back. You know, I mean, if we really felt that we didn't want to go with this, then,
right.
You know.
I'm not prejudging what the board's going to
right.
do.
Right, and I have no idea what the rest of the people feel. This is just my own, you know, I've been out there before and sometimes I've been out there with the group, but I went out and rode the bicycle and talked to all these people all the way around this. They're not really in favor of this either, and it's we're throwing a lot of houses in a very little area that right now doesn't have a lot of houses, and we're going to provide a sewer line that's going to make it so that a whole bunch of other little houses can get into an area where people moved in and didn't didn't feel or didn't want that when they moved in there. I mean, it's like the area I live. I live in 5 acres. I want it to stay that way. I don't want people building 10,000 square foot houses next to me either.
Okay,
it's a bad intersection.
For clarification, if they desire, you know, sewer service, they're going to have to extend. They're going to have to build and extend sewer services themselves. So it's not us doing it. They'd have to front the cost. Unlike some agencies, our annexation fees are refundable. So,
okay.
Should the project not go, we'd refund
cool.
that fees.
Yeah.
But the passage in the policy that I'm, you know, most concerned about is, as I have been with all annexations, is the ability to serve them water and water, the definition of water capacity. And I think that the definition of water capacity, pump capacity, and overdraft are need to be clarified in our document, because capacity can mean you can have a pump that can pump it out, but if you're past your safe yield, I'm not happy with having water capacity as justification for annexations. Me personally. Others might feel differently, but until a secondary source is on here, I'm going to look with a very critical eye at all annexations. In particular, the wording in here for undeveloped properties, which means they're not developed to their maximum potential use currently, which this fits into. It says the estimated demands for the service have to be, clearly defined in a comprehensive plan. It cannot reduce the ability of NCFC to serve properties already within the district boundary. Now, that, I think, is pivotal. Now, if that can be demonstrated here, that's not reducing our capability to serve properties already within the district boundaries, well, then I might become very comfortable with it, but right now I can't see the circumstances in which I would. Any other board feelings?
My feeling is that when the county land use was put in, we should have been there. Because I am not for the high density in any respect, but you're getting it all over the place, and that's because we weren't involved when it came to the finance that went in. I can see, if when we sit back and we say, okay, we're not going to serve it, what happens if Cal City Solar is supposed to serve it? Well, they use the same water as we do, so that's where we're in any better shape from that standpoint. The only good part is that the bad part is if we serve it, then we serve with sewer also, which increases the density constantly.
There
and
you
then
go.
When we serve another area, and we use that water capacity for another area, we don't increase the density.
That's
because we don't serve the sewer.
If Cal City serves it, they're going to serve 1 acre or 2.5 acre lots, because that's the minimum. that if we serve it, we're going to throw 20 houses on what should have been 5 houses. And there's a lot of people. I mean, Bob's had other projects that we'd approved. I mean, it's nothing personal. I mean, the other projects you had where you were entitled for the water, we approved it. And if you got more, we approved that. But what this is going, well, this is kind of a sensitive area anyhow.
It's very sensitive. Too.
Well, I can understand that because you got money involved. But
I was led down a criminal path.
And that was before I got on the board. So I mean, I kind of it's like coming in the middle of a movie for me. But
well,
we're short on water as it is, and there's a. In other words, we got a responsibility to provide water, but we haven't got an unlimited supply, and this means we're going to have to like reach into our reserves to. To do this where someplace else it's already got it coming, we can give it to them.
What
I'd like to see the unity in this whole area, certainly with NCSD, because I'd like to see it move towards the city in that manner.
Yeah.
But what I don't like to see is the density that we, as soon
right.
as we serve it, the county says, okay, instead of one house per half acre, even, it's just
yeah.
hidden.
Well, can I ask something?
Certainly.
Like I indicated before, there was a, that South County update, which was about the 7-year process, probably one of the longest ones, and like I said, it was 20-plus hearings, and NCSD was represented at those hearings several times. I was in myself, and I saw a war between Cal City and NCSD fighting for that area, and at that hearing, the county went ahead indicated that area as being a sphere of influence for NCSD because they wanted
The Public Utilities Commission said it isn't. We lost.
Since that time,
since
Cal
that
Cities
time.
Has made
yeah.
some
right.
intrusion.
Since
and,
that time, there has been some utility
commission. On a
total
poll.
One bad feature with Cal Cities, they do not have to have any kind of annexation to provide service into their water district. They are a public utility.
Right.
And I've worked on projects to water, rural water districts in the past. And I know what the process is in getting and they aren't required by any county or any government agency, you know, to make any kind of other than saying that they have service availability and that they extend their line. There is no government requirement.
Yeah. I'd like to say that the fact that Cold Lane is gone has been approved. Just points out to us, the board, that areas that are zoned for high density are going to be developed, and I don't think the board has any power to stop that or change that in any way. And so, in effect, if the county gives approval, there's not much we can do. And that's what this project is the same as the other.
Except that Cold Lane is within the boundaries.
Yeah.
And this one's in the district. But the fact that it's in the is a zone of influence is in effect gives them pretty much the same opportunity to do that.
One point, the zoning on this property was actually 6,000 square foot before they down zoned it to the 10,000 square foot. And it was done through the hearing process that Macomo people put the input into the whole process, and the Macomo people decided that this was going to be 10,000 square feet. It wasn't the county. It was the input from the Macomo people.
From NAC and
yeah, exactly. So, you know, it just led us to believe that maybe this was all right.
Yeah, the actual zoning designation for residential single family is 6,000 square feet, and then that's why the county did take that into consideration and zoning.
Well, it's never a done deal, though. You understand this. That's why there's a sphere of influence line and there's a district line. Otherwise, we would just extend our district line, the service line, and just do away with it.
You're right.
Urban services. I mean, that is a decision as a buffer area, which we have to consider very carefully when we process annexations. Now, that's the only area of possibility in most cases where we can even consider an annexation when policy is written. There's been exceptions, some occasion, and Black Lake, where he didn't have contiguous boundary with the district, the policy is written, has to be share a property line with the current district. So you're close to that, but we still have to, you know, the county's approval of the general plan is different than our approval of an annexation. It's simple. We've got other things to look at. Yeah, any other public comments or questions? Mr. Briley?
Mark Briley, Special District Representative on San Luis Obispo County, Labco. My trip down here is noticed it on your agenda this evening, and it's, I guess, is a represents an apology to Mr. Jones and your entire board for the actions that LAFCO took on the last annexation that took place. LAFCO staff didn't get input from the Palma CSD on the last annexation. That's how it went through. So this is an apology to Mr. Jones and your district. The current, listening to the information that's been going back and forth this evening, there's a little bit of misinformation. County Planning Department sets urban reserve lines, urban services lines. Those are county planning lines. LAFCO, which is a multi-agency agency, has a sphere of service line and a sphere of influence line. And LAFCO determines whether the property is going to go through with the annexation. Whether a piece of property is in or out of an urban reserve line or if urban service line, really doesn't have a lot of impact on LAFCO. We take it into consideration, but that's not our guidelines. Sphere of service, sphere of influence lines are the LAFCO lines. The county can draw all the lines they want, and if everyone just went by the county urban service and urban reserve lines, there would be a LAFCO, which is debatable right now whether there is an independence within the agency or not. But the reason I made this trip down here was to get the information available myself to you. I'm concerned with a lot of my feelings on this, but the new LAFCO policies are actually the LAFCO policies on annexation. If you do have to provide a comprehensive report on your water use for the annexation will be processed, and also how this affects the infill development. LAFCO really wants to see undeveloped or underutilized land within a district or city fully utilized before they start spreading out and creating urban sprawl. So that's just pointers for the applicant and for this board to look at the water and infill development as much as possible.
In the process, when could we expect that request from the that request would come to the district from the LAFCO Commission?
It depends on who is going to be leading on this. If the applicant's going just applying directly to LAFCO, then that the applicant's going, LAFCO's going to request that information from the applicant, and the applicant's going to get the information from this district. With the current makeup of LAFCO and the way it's going, City of Rio Grande just amended their sphere of influence to 115 acres south of the city of Rio Grande for commercial industrial uses. And their water study and infill study was about 8 pages of staff report. It was a very excellent document. I wish everyone luck.
The annexation that you said went through with minimal or no NCSN input with the Hastings property, I assume.
Yeah.
Was that the Hastings?
No, it was those that 6-acre parcel that annexed to a CSA one.
23.
Oh, Sauer.
No, it's actually sorry. It's shown on your map as parcel number 23. Process.
Right. I just might comment on that one. The LAFCO Commission has recently revised its rules to give any agency in which they propose to do some work within a sphere of influence, they get 45 days notice. So hopefully that type of situation won't happen again.
Sure.
Folks get your water from Wilbur's Lake.
Yeah, sure. Rodney gets his water from Wilbur's Lake. Oh, Roy Grandy does.
Yeah, so you don't have a lot of water.
No, I'm not from the city of Roy Grandy. I'm from the city of No,
I don't even know what that is.
I'm losing control.
let's keep it to
a seems like you guys are fighting Cal Water and our well system here, and you got Cal Water Company right there. Why don't you guys get together and make some kind of a deal with them? And we wouldn't have a water problem, would we? I mean,
because we're businesses.
As far as serving residential customers, right?
Thanks for your input, Farmer.
Thanks, Farmer.
Okay, I think that the next step we have to take is we've got to digest what's been delivered tonight.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mr. President, the board wish to consider this. They should direct staff to put this on the next agenda and do analysis of the impact of the Unilaw annexation along with the Hastings annexation. With respect to water and sewer.
Okay, now the information that has to be provided by the applicant at this point is what? We have to know maximum number of lots.
Right.
Maximum water use. Maximum sewer use. Or sewer effluent.
Right.
Of that form. We have copies of that form to help.
Right, right. He's filled out the form, and for his 10-acre or 5-acre, there's another, or I should say 10 acres, there's another 5-acre parcel which has two lots on it, which is unknown what development plan would be at this point. And then there's a Hastings annexation, which is 15 acres, which is unknown of what type of development would be on. And basically, without detailed information, staff would go and use the 10,000 square foot lots and say that is the maximum development in this area, and based on the number of units there, develop the demands on the district water sources.
Okay, but it's not up to us to develop Hastings property and Newdall.
No,
and
no. All we do,
let's all scope staff it to what, just what we're considering.
Yeah.
Let's scope it as narrowly and specifically as possible.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have those here, but
we can't.
We can't do that. All we have is
never black and white, is it?
For the 5 acres. There's an additional, 10 acres, there's an additional 5 acres that does not have a development plan that's included in this annexation.
Okay, and that's represented by numbers what?
31.
30, 31, and what else?
Yes, to submit
it. Yeah, 30 and 31.
Yeah, that's 2.5 acres. 28 and 29, you said, are presently getting Cal City's water.
Right, and they will not be included in the annexation.
Okay,
so the maximum density on those are the two parcels combined together.
There's a dichotomy here because we
don't want to make the money
without a development plan.
There'll be more driveways.
Should I have their own meeting over there?
There is an overall development plan for that parcel. If you look at how the cul-de-sac and the road design play out on that, the county at the time that you do a parcel split, whether it's the two parcels split on a 10-acre piece or what, you have to put in an overall development plan that shows the maximum allowable.
Right.
So we can go back to the county and pull up the file number for the lot 30 and 31 that was a part of this 29 and 30 and 31, and get a copy of the overall development schematic design.
Oh, well, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, county has that on there.
And then how about the Hastings property? Is there any development plan on that?
Yeah. And
okay.
You have that in your file.
Well, maybe you could renew it and submit that also.
Right.
And from that information, we can develop what the demand is on the district level.
Can that information be together by the next meeting? Or?
Maybe not. If not, we'll go with the following meeting. We'll probably shoot for maybe March 20th.
What's your cutoff date for this meeting?
It's not only the cutoff for the Brown Act, but it's staff preparation to have it together.
When would you have to have a material?
easier trying to shut everything down a week before the meeting. But, you know, if you had it a week before the meeting, that is enough time to do something like this.
So within the next 2 weeks, if you got the information.
Okay. Any board comments or questions? Any further public comments or questions?
I've got a question. This annexation is all related to water. There's this little dialogue right here going on.
Part of it.
How about this Cal Water Company? How come they never have a representative here that... Are we fighting these people, or are
well, because they're a private company. They're a private enterprise.
We're not fighting them. The whole annexation system is based, I mean, the only advantage that anybody has annexing to us versus Cal Cities is because of the sewer system. It increases the number of places they can build.
You know, it seems like they don't have a problem with water, do they?
The whole area does.
Yeah. They're drawing out the same
oh,
water.
Yeah.
Our water.
It's a, it's a regional problem.
You know, when you put in the sewer
Cal
system,
will pick up whatever you do.
When you put that sewer system in, the Uniform Plumbing Code says every time you put a new sewer system in, the houses that are on septic system have to automatically have theirs hooked into the sewer system right there. You ever take that into consideration too?
That's if a house is on a less than 1 acre lot, for one thing.
Yeah,
and if the sewer line is available, then they have a...
If you're talking about sewers, too, putting sewers in, right?
And or if their current septic system fails, then they have to hook in. But there are some good differences.
What I suggest to the board is that they table this matter until all the documentation can be presented to the district. Just to prepare a report and bring it back to the board when all the documentation is complete.
Okay. Do we need a motion on that effect? Can we just direct staff to proceed in that manner? Is that okay?
Yeah, this is not an action item on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know if we ran a sewer line through there, if all the people on Orchard would have to hook in.
Now, if they want to, if they're outside the prohibition there.
Probably smaller lots
than you're here. Oh, no, they would not have to. Most likely they would, but they would not have to. They're outside the prohibition.
What is the size of those lots? Approximately?
You're talking about the narrow ones up on top, right?
I think they're about an 8.
Yeah, those have been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Some of those are older houses. There's a couple houses on some of them.
Okay, well, staff will proceed once all the documentation of the development plans come in. We'll prepare a report for the board. Bring it back to the board.
Anything you wanted to add before we move on to another item?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Newdall and Ms. Payne. Okay, let's move on to item number 6. This is a property reversion regarding Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, this particular item has a long history associated with the beginning of the sewer project. A lift station was installed at the Black Lake Mobile Home Estates and on a piece of property which was large enough to have an on-site disposal system which served Black Lake Mobile Home Estates. Once the sewer system came in, the district overall sewer system, the lift station, the bulk of the property was no longer needed for on-site service. When the county developed the property, or when it was developed in the county, and the county had it as a county service area, there was a reversionary clause that once the area was no longer used for sewer service, it would revert back to the developer. at that time, as Mr. Armstrong, there was some, points where it wasn't moving along sufficiently, so Mr. Armstrong filed a litigation against the district and the county to acquire the property and came to agreement with the district, since the county gave it to the district, that the district would revert back to roughly the top 120 feet to keep the lower portion for its lift station. And we would proceed on that aspect, and then the district passed a document indicating that we reverted the 120 feet back to Mr. Armstrong, kept the lower portion for the lift station. That document was filed with the county recorder's office.
And then sometime later that the county planning department notified the district that was an illegal lot split, and we had to go through a public lot adjustment line. And so the district has been going through the process of a three-way lot split with the county planning department, and has progressed to the point where the map needs to be signed, and in the process, the property has a cloud on it since we gave the property to Mr. Armstrong. Now Mr. Armstrong is claiming that portion of the property which the district gave to him back to the district, so it's all one parcel, so the documents could be recorded with the county. Once it's recorded, then we go back and do a deed transfer of transferring parcel one and two back to Mr. Armstrong.
Do we get our dollar back?
So far, Mr. Armstrong, except for some staff time, has been paying for all of these.
Okay. The when you said county planning said that the district, to us, that there was an illegal lot split. Now, at our second meeting in January, didn't we consider some condition language which said that we would not ever develop that as a residence? It would only be, it would have restricted use. That addressed the illegality of the lot split itself. That was there, didn't it?
That was part of the subdivision review board requirement. And at that time, it was processing the parcel map, which you have on there, and that was one of the conditions put on the parcel map.
So that was apparently not enough, though. We have to go through this quit claim deed to us and then back to Mr. Armstrong.
Right. Once the quit claim deed is given to the district, that clears up the title. Then the map is filed. In fact, we had to issue a will serve letter to ourselves for the map to be recorded, which has been done. And so once this matter is cleared up and then the map is signed, then it's sent back to the surveyor and it's recorded. And then once that recorded document comes back, then we'll proceed with the transferring the property to Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Sykes looked like he was chomping at the bit. Did you have something you wanted to...
No, actually I was preparing for the next agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wanted to give you
some... He's just chomping.
I'm just chomping.
Anyway, a resolution 96-570 basically is a to accept the quitclaim deed, the governing body has to accept it as a body, and so a resolution has been prepared for the board's action to accept the quitclaim deed.
Right. We have everything in order now on that item.
Well, hopefully.
Is there any representative of Mr. Armstrong here? Anyone in the audience have a question or a comment before we come back to the board? Okay. Board comments or questions? Mr. Jones? And Mr. Sykes? I believe the action before us is it's a recommendation to accept the quitclaim deed from Mr. Armstrong.
I'll make a motion that we accept resolution number 96-570.
I'll second that motion. And that's a resolution of the Board of Directors and CSD accepting the claim deed from Calvin H. Armstrong. Got a motion by Director Fairbanks, a second by Director Blair. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Fairbanks?
Yes.
Director Blair?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, resolution 96-570 is passed. Item number seven is regarding the district's investment policy. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, at the last board meeting, the district brought to your honorable board a draft of a investment policy for adoption by the board. There were a couple little comments made on it, and staff has basically revised the district policy based on some minor information that has been brought forth. And the policy is before you, along with the resolution establishing the district investment policy, resolution number 96-572. Legal counsel had made a couple minor changes, which he may request.
Yeah, can you go through those, John?
Right. Basically, we made two changes to it, beginning on page 1, section 2, where we designate our finance officer. I'm sure with Lisa's permission, we added a sentence that said the district's administrative assistant shall serve as the district's finance officer and treasurer in the absence of the district's general manager.
Very good. Picked up on
that. That was just to address a vacancy in the general manager's position. The second one is on page 4, paragraph 7, subparagraph A. This is a quarterly report. Paragraph 8, or subparagraph 8 in that section, at one time stated the district was going to meet its cash flow requirements for the next 30 days, and we inserted 6 months. I just might add, because the district, as the board is aware from the last meeting on this item, this isn't the legislature's response to the crisis in Orange County about the Orange County investing in rather speculative securities. This quarterly report, because this district's primary investment is in the LAIF and FDIC secured or insured bank accounts, this quarterly investment policy will actually only be submitted to the board for its approval on a yearly basis. And you can pick that up if you take a look at page 5, subparagraph C. It says limited quarterly reports.
Paragraph C. Okay.
Right. In other words,
that's if we invest in LAIF.
Yeah,
or FDIC.
Right, FDIC. Or the county pool, I might add, too, is another option within the code.
Okay. All right. That seems fine. Katie, refresh my memory. On page 3, section 6, on the investments authority, the reason I'm asking you is because I think you brought this up first. Didn't you suggest that county pool funds or maybe one of the other investments become part of the fourth paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong there? Or
you're right.
Somewhere along there. Is there a reason why we can't do that, or is it just clear to call out one? County pool funds as item 1? It would fall into the category of
right. Well, this
other designated investments by the board of directors.
In putting this investment policy together, the investment authority just allows for permitted investments.
Right.
We could take the county pooled funds. The reason why it's included in here, we took the most conservative investment policies that would have still allowed the district to diversify and comply with only the yearly reports, basically. And we also took a look at the district's current investment policy and how they were investing. We could clearly, because the district at this time, as I understand, does not have any money in the county pool funds.
Right.
So if we did want to move that particular authority down to paragraph 4, and I would just suggest that as part of the adopting the a resolution that we clarify that paragraph 1 would be deleted and the rest of the paragraphs would move up. I just point out this is just an option. This doesn't commit the district to invest in county pool funds. It just leaves it as as an option.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with it the way it is, unless Katie has something else
I was
going to
make a motion that we pass the resolution with the exception of 681.
Okay.
Look at that.
About that. Now, as John pointed out, it's just an additional allowance.
It's Orange County, isn't it?
the county pool fund is just it's another possibility. We don't have to do that.
Right.
So I'll just
get
more insight into
the possibility doesn't disappear. I was just going to say the possibility doesn't disappear just because we delete that line. The possibility is there with the 4.
Right. I just might mention that the county tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock is holding a meeting, which I'll be attending, to go over what their policy is going to be on allowing transactions in the county pool of funds, and I have a suspicion that the emphasis is going to be on taking money out of the county pool of funds as opposed to depositing into it. But there will, whatever those restrictions are, will be known, or the policy will be generated, or we'll be starting the policy issues tomorrow. I'm not real clear where they're going to go with it, but I'll be attending that meeting.
I have a question. Frank Freitas was someone involved, the way I understand, but something to do with the Orange County thing. He was in Sacramento, and I don't know why he was going to meetings. Was it to study that, or what?
Well, I would assume, as far as I know, and I don't pretend to have all the knowledge, I don't know of any the county having any monies invested within their scheme within Orange County. The only governmental agency that I'm aware of, I think, is Atascadero, that had money in the Orange County pool of funds. Kiama did too.
Was a school college or lunch.
I just said that he was saying, I didn't have the opportunity to ask him, but he was stating that he was in Sacramento.
I'm sure there was a lot of study sessions, and he may have gone up there to help draft this the new code sections to the government code that would articulate the investment philosophies or the guidelines in which a special district or any local agency could invest its reserves. And that's basically what you do, is you invest your reserves to gain some interest on them until they're spent.
Okay. Do any other board members have any problems with what Kitty's proposing? Is take 6A1, county pooled funds, and just by its deletion, it would become implied as part of 4. And if there was to be any investment in a county pooled fund, it would then require board directed action. Is that correct, Kitty?
No.
Mm-hmm.
You want board directed action and investment. It's not a bad idea.
Does anyone else have a problem with that?
No.
Okay, and before we get a formal motion, any public inputs or questions?
In regards to the financial thing? Or
right, right. No, just this item. Just the investments.
Right.
Is that create any heartburn for staff?
Not with us. We have the motive transfers now, so it's
okay, Katie, give us that motion.
Okay, I make a motion that we adopt resolution number 96571 now, with the exception of 681.
Okay.
I second that motion. How's that?
Okay, I have a motion by Director Fairbanks and a second by Director Blair. Now, this would also include, yeah, as you stated, adoption of Resolution 96-571, establishing a district investment policy. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Fairbanks?
Yes.
Mr. Blair?
Yes.
Mendoza?
Yes. Mr. Small? Yes. Okay, all directors vote aye. Mm-hmm. Okay. 4-0. Yes.
Along with this, since the district adopted a resolution establishing district investment policy, another resolution sent to your board for action, 96-573. This resolution is designating Mid State Bank as the depository for district funds. And there was a resolution adopted in 1966 on the district of first form, resolution number 7, and that designated Mid State Bank for depository of funds derived from taxes only. And so this resolution basically states that all funds will be put in the Mid-State Bank, not just tax funds. And it repeals resolution number 7 and it's tired.
Right. I of course want to clarify, not all district funds would go into Mid-State Bank. It would just be I think the district's operating account is run through Mid-State Bank.
Right. And we use Mid-State Bank as a transfer agency to the layup account.
Okay, we may have got our numbering off there. I think 96-572 is the one we passed previously,
right,
establishing the district investment policy. Now 573 is what you're just, and there you're saying that repeals which resolution?
Resolution number 7.
Number 7.
Which put a restriction on the monies that went into the Mid-State Bank. This resolution just repeals that one and makes the Mid-State Bank